magnify you, Lord. Indeed, there is no other God besides you. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you change not. Father, we are here because of you, because of what you've done for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, our God, our Savior, our Kinsman, Redeemer. Oh. You are worthy to receive all glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, praise team. Thank you. Bless your heart. Yeah, the Lord is good. Thank you for being here this morning. I just hope and pray that you are blessed and you will be blessed today. I know you've all come from various places, from some people from far and near. I trust that the Lord will bless you today, give you understanding, give you wisdom, give you grace and mercy. I know I do have a short time here, but I'll try and do the best I can to share the word. It took me a long time, you know, when I was told that I was supposed to, you know, come before you this morning and just share a few things. It took me time to get a hold of that, because really, preaching is not my thing. But I guess somebody wants me to preach, so I guess I'll do it, right? For those that know me, preaching is not my thing. But, you know, the thing is, God is good. Okay, and we'll do the best we can. So our text of scripture today will come from, the book of Matthew. I guess I better put on my glasses, right? Praise the Lord. All right. Text of scripture coming from Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. If you put that up for me, I'll appreciate that. That will help me a lot, so I don't have to, you know, spill over and my Bible here. Matthew 11, 29, and it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." It says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." And that's taken from King James Version. Now, if you look at that scripture very well, there's some kind of instruction that God is giving us. The Word of God tells us we should take upon us His yoke and learn of Him. It says, because He is meek and lowly in heart. And at the end of the day, when you do that, it says you will find rest unto your souls. Praise you, the Lord. It's a very simple instruction. If you follow, you'll find rest for your souls, right? That's the end result of that instruction he has given unto us. But I'm going to dwell on the aspect today of learn of me, all right? That's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to dwell on that and try and see what God wants us to learn of him and why he wants us to learn of him. Praise ye the Lord. So today, when he says we should learn of him, let us see what the Oxford Dictionary tells us about learn. It says it means to gain or acquire knowledge of or skill in something by study, by experience, and by being taught. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord himself encompasses all of those. He's an expert, he's an authority, and he has experience. If he doesn't have experience, you and I will not be here today, right? If he's not an expert in the acts of creation and things like that, we'll not be here today, right? If he's not an authority of the word and the things that he has made and created and given, we will not be here today. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Now, why should I learn from him? Why? Why should we learn? Why should we even consider? We're going to take a little bit of a journey here, so just bear with me. If you can put up for me Luke chapter 9. Verse, I'm going to read from 28 and to 36. Luke 9, 28, 36. And he says, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings. Says he took Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain. Next verse. 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glycerine. Next verse. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Next verse. Who appeared in glory and spake of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Next verse. And it came to pass, as he departed from him, Peter and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Yes. You know, let us make 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said. Next verse, please. While he was thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Next verse. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Praise ye the Lord. The voice gave an instruction, said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. In other words, whatever he says, listen to him. Whatever command he gives, follow. That's the simplest understanding of it. If I tell my daughter, hear me what I say, I expect that you want to follow that instruction because I am your father. I gave birth to you, right? Right? We have children, right? Right? So you expect your son or you expect your daughter to follow that instruction. So God is saying to us today, I have put my authority and power upon him. Hear him. I have a confirmation concerning him. Hear him. In anything he says and does, listen to him and hear him. And that's what we're going to do today. Praise ye the Lord. We're going to try and hear God, hear him, and figure out what he's trying to tell us to do in our walk with the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Matthew 17, 1 to 5. Let's read that and see. Matthew 17, 1 to 5, please. Matthew 17, 1 to 5. Thank you. And it says, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Next verse. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us, you know, to be here. If thou wilt, let us, you know, be here. Make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And now, when I did my research, I saw that the 3 gospels themselves said the same thing. Praise ye the Lord. They all said the same thing about this. They mentioned about this. So, we say, as an authority, says all 3 accounts agree that a voice came to declare that we should hear him. In other words, making Jesus an authority in his field, an authority in his ministry, and an authority in his commission. Praise you, the Lord. So, because he's an authority, therefore, his declarations of himself, of his word, and of the Father, and of the prophetic, the future, say, are eternal truths, and we must accept it, believe it, and walk in it. Praise you, the Lord. There was not at any time that God said to any other person, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. When Jesus spoke of himself, let's look at John chapter 6, verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. What does it say? John 6, 35 for me, please. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He spoke of himself. In other words, your needs, physical, can be met because it has the power and the authority to meet those needs. Praise ye the Lord. What I say, your needs can be met. Your physical needs can be met because he has the power and the authority to meet those needs. Praise ye the Lord. Spoke of himself. So in other words, the word that he spoke is true because he spoke of himself. And the word of God we heard declared that we should hear him. And if Jesus speaks of himself, declaring that, yes, I can meet your needs, listen to him. Praise you, the Lord. What does it say of the Father? John chapter 17, 1 to 5, please. John 17, 1 to 5. Let's see what it says of the Father. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Next verse. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Next verse. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, an only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Praise ye the Lord. Next verse. It says, I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Next verse. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The Father gave him the power and the mandate to be who he is and to be able to do the things that he did. Praise ye the Lord. And the voice confirmed and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him in all that you do." Praise ye the Lord. Because I'm just trying to establish some form of authority. Because a lot of times we go out and listen to other people. We listen to philosophers. We listen to all kinds of things. A lot of us listen to Oprah Winfrey, for example. We take her advice. Praise ye the Lord. And it happens. You know, I remember many years ago, I had the opportunity to counsel, by the grace of God, opportunity to counsel a family that were having, you know, trouble. That day, I took my wife and we went and I spoke to the guy, you know, and then my wife took the wife and they were talking. So we finally brought both of them together to kind of figure out what the problem was. And we discovered that each time we were talking, trying to counsel them by the word of God, the wife was always talking about Oprah Winfrey said, Oprah Winfrey said, Oprah Winfrey said, Oprah Winfrey said. And I looked at my wife and said, "Oprah Winfrey said, is that what it is? Is that the counsel that we are getting today in marriage?" Praise ye the Lord. Oprah Winfrey said, okay, Oprah Winfrey said, but where is that marriage today? Sad to say, it's no more. Because Oprah Winfrey said, because you're listening to Oprah Winfrey, the word of God is there as your guide. But you are choosing to go outside the word of God to listen to Oprah Winfrey and many others out there. However, God is telling us, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, what does it say of his word? John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63, please. John 6, 63. It says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." It says, "The words that I speak unto you," it says, "they are what? Spirit and what? Life." The words that we are speaking today from these scriptures that we are sharing with one another, it says they are what? Spirit and they are what? Life. In other words, it can do something for you if you adhere to it and follow it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, what does it say of the prophetic, of the future? Let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we'll talk about 24 and 25. Matthew 24, 24 and 25, please. Matthew 24, 24 and 25. It says, verse 24, it says, "And there shall arise false prophets and false Christs, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible," so "they shall do what? Deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." Next verse. "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Praise ye the Lord. And of course, we know today that a lot of false prophets that have come and gone, many more are still going to come. Okay? So, everything that we speak concerning Jesus as an authority, as a measure, as a standard, we ought to align our lives to and adhere to his word. Praise ye the Lord. So we take Jesus and his word as the standard of our life. And we align ourselves according to his word. Because his word is what? Truth. John 17 says, "Sanctify me through thy truth, because sanctify me through thy word, because thy word is the truth." There is nothing else for us to take than the word of God as hook, line, and sinker, and align our lives accordingly. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It says, "Prophets and men like Moses and Elijah, or John the Baptist, for example, could not speak of themselves as authority." Why? Simply, because these men were just messengers. They were just leaders. They were foreigners. in their time, and they were fallible. There were men who had issues, who made mistakes, who had problems. Some of them had unbelief at a point in time. And God had to tell them, sorry, you're not going to make the promise. You can see, but you're not going to enter. We'll get to that later. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. So as this man and others after them were used by God to bring forth a message, a word or a deliverance to God's people. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. This is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. Let's see what he says. He said, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Next verse. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth did what? Came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by who? Jesus. Not by any man else. Not by Oprah Winfrey. Not by what? Warren Buffett. Any of those men out there. It says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It says, and no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Next verse. And this is a record of John. Now, let us listen to what John says. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Next verse. And he confessed. Hey. And denied not, but confessed. He says, I am not the Christ. Yes, I could be a messenger. I could be a forerunner, but I am not the Christ. I'm not going to take that authority. There is one that has the authority. And at the end of the day, he pointed out to him that that is the one you need to listen to. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Because don't look at me. It's not about my pastor. It's not about my teacher. It's not about whatever. It is about who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Him alone, because he has the word of truth. That is the authority, that is the measure, that is the standard we need to align ourselves with. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Isaiah 28:16 says, calls him the precious cornerstone. And then, of course, Ephesians 2:20 and 1 Peter 2:6, Paul and Peter refers to that same passage in Isaiah 26:16 and calling him the precious cornerstone. This is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we have been able to establish Christ as the authority, Christ as the measure, Christ as the standard of our existence. So let us begin to learn from him. Praise the Lord. Let us begin to learn if one or two things that I want to address today as very important in our walk with the Lord, that us not doing this might lead us not to make it possible, not to make heaven. That us not doing this might lead us to lose our estate if you are not careful. Praise you, the Lord. Hallelujah. Obedience, number one. Romans 5:19. Romans 5:19, please. Says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. The obedience of one, many was made righteous. This is exactly what the Lord did. Redeemed us from the disobedience that Adam and Eve caused, that we have the problem today. And then he came and said, okay, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to come down myself. I'm going to walk through the hot coast of Galilee. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to pay the price. and draw many unto myself. Praise you, the Lord. Now remember, in the Old Testament, he gave them the Old Testament, right? He gave them the commandments. He gave them everything. Now when God himself was trying to come down to be with the people, and they said, no, sorry, we don't want you. Oh, there's so much thunder and lightning and fire and brimstone. We only want Moses. Let Moses talk to us. Okay, he gave them the Ten Commandments. At the end of the day, they messed up. Praise you, the Lord. And then he came in the dispensation of grace and said, yes, I can do this. I can come down. I can walk. I can go to the cross. I can pay the price for my people because of the love I have for them. And that is exactly what he did for you and I. That's why you and I are sitting here today. Because without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's what? No remission of sins. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5, really from verse 5 to 9. Let's see what happened in that scenario. Revelation chapter 5, 5 to 9. And it says, and one of the elders said unto me, this is John, you know, the vision of John recounting in the book of Revelation, says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to do what? To loose the seven seals. Next verse. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood what? A lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took what? He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Next verse. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four elders and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Next verse. And they sang a new song, saying, says, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed what? Us to God. Said, by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nations. Next verse. Give me the next verse, please. And has made us unto what? Our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On earth. Redemption was not done in heaven. Right? It was done on earth. He left the throne, came down, and died. This is where redemption took place. He was sent to do the work of redemption. No man could have done it. But he himself took it upon himself. Bible says he made a body, you know, and dwelt in that body. He walked through the whole course of Galilee. Miracles, signs, and wonders took place. Because no man was worthy to do that job except the Lord himself. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It says, Jesus Christ was a sent one and he obeyed the calling. John 6, 38 to 40. Give me that scripture, please. John 6, 38 to 40. For I came down from heaven, says what? Not to do my own will. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. So I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do what? The will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which had sent me, that of all which had given me, I shall do what? Lose nothing, but shall raise it up again the last day. Praise you, the Lord. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Praise ye the Lord. Jesus Christ, as a sent one, obeyed to do the will of the Father. Amen? So we are learning something here. He obeyed. Right? So it becomes our responsibility in our fellowship, in our relationship with him, to do also do what? To obey. Because he did it. I tell you one thing, that there's everything that the Lord, God will not do something to you or ask you to do something to you that he would not have done. Or giving you an example of to do. When it comes to the issues of forgiveness, what did he do? He forgave. Praise the Lord. When it comes to the issues of loving, what did he do? He first loved you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there is nothing that he hasn't or tell you to do that he will not show you first. Remember, in the Old Testament, he had the opportunity, the people had the opportunity for him to come down and be with them and show them, but they rejected that and said, no, they want to see Moses. But now he's coming to us in the dispensation of grace to show us and to tell us, yes, this is how you need to do this, that you can be able to make heaven and walk with me. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Men and brethren, we are very privileged. I tell you this, we are very privileged that we have the grace of God in this dispensation for us to be able to see an example of what God has done, and that we should follow. That when we follow, you're not going to lose your path. Praise the Lord. Psalm 38 verse 2. Sorry, Psalm 32 verse 8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you will go. And do what? I will guide you with my eyes. But I will give you the instruction though. But you got to follow. You got to obey. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ did. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering here, please. So, in my little note here, I said, he was sent to do the will of the Father. He understood the purpose and the mission and the vision of his calling, such that he withstood in no uncertain terms anyone and anything that would suggest him to do otherwise. Amen? Now we find that in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. When Mark 38, 31, let's read that real quick. He said, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Next verse. And he began to teach them. Next verse, please. And he spake that. And he began to speak, saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Let's see what he says. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou sufferest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Praise the Lord. So everything that has to do with the issues of obedience and doing the will of God, when there's a form of attack to say, no, sorry, you can't do this, you can't do that. He says, I reject you. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because there's a purpose for which I have come for my people, that I may die and be raised up the third day and grant them salvation. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, obedience, I must tell you, brothers and sisters, obedience is at the core of God's heart. Obedience is at the core of God's heart. And it says, it pleases him and gives him pleasure to see his children walk in obedience of his word and instruction. Now, in relation to the people of Israel, God began to speak unto them. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 20. Isaiah 1, 18 to 20. Let's see what it says. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. It says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Next verse. And if you be willing and what? Obedient. It says, you shall do what? Eat the good of the land. So attached to your prosperity,
attached to your doing good in the good or in the land where you find yourself. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you will do what? Eat the good of the land. That's the opposite. But if you refuse and do what? Rebel. You shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Praise ye the Lord. If you be willing and obedient, you will do what? Eat the good of the land. But if you choose not to, you will do what? Be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Jeremiah 7, 22 to 24, please. Jeremiah 7, 22 to 24. And let's see what it says. For I speak not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning what? Burnt offerings. But this thing commanded I them, saying, do what? Obey my voice. And I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be what? Well unto you. It's not about burnt sacrifices, not about offerings, not about all that and all that. It's about what? Obeying the word of God, the instruction that God gives you. I don't know what instruction God has given you or God gives you. It says, obey. Follow that instruction. Whatever it is, I don't know. You all know how you relate with the Lord. I'm not there when God gives you the instruction. Nobody's there when God gives you the direction. But the command is this. It's not about sacrifice. It's not about burnt offerings. It's not about you jump here and there and all that and all that. That's not what God is looking for. He has enough. The cattle upon 1,000 hills, high ease. If he wants to eat meat, he can cut, do that. He's got the cattle upon 1,000 hills. They all belong to him. Everything in this world belongs to him. But the instruction is that you do what? Obey. So that you do what? Eat the good of the land. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It says obedience is an important character trait that must be in the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. It says we must develop a willingness to obey. We must develop a willingness to obey. Sons of God must be like God, like Christ, ready to pay the price of obedience for their heavenly calling and purpose. The price of obedience are the things you are willing to suffer for and to give up so that you can gain not only the blessings and upliftment, but also mercy and grace. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Jesus Christ, Bible says, learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, please. The obedience of Abraham. God gave him command. He said, leave your father. Leave your father's house and go. Get out of here. Simple instruction. And Abraham obeyed. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Next verse. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Next verse. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham, what did he do? He departed. As the Lord had spoken unto him. Now, who went with him? Who went with him? Lot. I don't know what relationship or what Abraham said to Lot. But Lot went with him. Now, later on we'll see that Lot, something happened to Lot and things. Anyway. So Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Praise ye the Lord. Now, Let's look at, well, we'll talk about the obedience of Noah also. That will give us, we'll find that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, 14, and 22. And I'll give you one more statement here, if you don't mind, please. It says, your obedience to God is a testament of your love for him. Amen, amen. And there's a caveat to that. It will be tested. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your obedience is a testament of your love for God. And it will be tested. Genesis 22, 1 to 3. Let's look at that real quick. Genesis 22, 1 to 3. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I am here. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou do what? Your obedience is a testament of your love for God, and it will be tested. This is the point where God began to test Abraham to see, how much does this guy, how much does he love me? Our tests may be different. Our trials may be different. But every instruction that God gives you is the test of your love for him. How much do you love me? How much do you care about me? Yeah, I died for you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If I take your son, your only son, that you have waited for many years, sacrifice the son and give it to me. Let me see. If I take your son, your daughter, and bring them home to be with me, why are you going to react? What are you going to say? Praise the Lord. If I say, pack your bags and baggages and go to Nigeria, you've lived here for, what, 20 years? Pack your bag and go. There's nothing. Go and live in Nigeria, for example. Are you going to obey? Are you going to obey? Your love for God will be tested. Praise you, the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible says Abraham obeyed, took his son, only son. The Bible records that it was counted unto him for righteousness. Let us see what God said about that singular act that Abraham did. Genesis 22, please. 15 to 18. Genesis 22, 15 to 18, please. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Next verse. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. Thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the sea shore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Next verse. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because what? Praise the Lord. Because you simply obeyed me, I will bless you. You will eat the good of the land. Praise ye the Lord. The opposite of obedience is what? Disobedience or rebellion, as the Bible calls it. We can see that in the example of Adam and Eve. They lost their estate as a result of simple disobedience. It's as simple as that. What about Saul? He lost his kingdom simply because of what? disobedience. He was given the instruction to go to what nation is that? Destroy all of them. Don't bring anything back. Of course, he listened to the plea of the people or whatever it was, and Samuel came to him and said, oh yeah, because you've done this thing, God has taken the kingdom from you. Because obedience is better than sacrifice, and to do what? Hearken than the fattening of rams. It's not about sacrifice. God keeps telling us it's not about sacrifice. It's not about all the pomp and pageantry. It is about obedience to my word, to my instruction. We talk about the manifestation of the sons of God and so forth and so on. Oh, we are jumping up and down. Yeah, manifest. Yeah, we're going to be sons of God. Yeah, we're going to do this. Good. You can't do this. You can't function if you don't obey. Simple instruction. That is what God is telling us today. You want to function and excel as in the manifestation of sons of God? You have to cultivate that ability to learn to hear the voice of God and do what? Obey that instruction. That is what the Lord is telling us today. Praise you, the Lord. Let's look at Numbers 20, 17 to... I'll just skip on that one a little bit. I'll just tell you what it is. That's about Moses himself. God gave him instructions about the water. The people were crying over him and said, oh, we brought us to this place to suffer. We need water and so forth and so on. And God told him specifically what to do. Rather than speak to the rock, he did what? He struck the rock. Yeah, he got water. They got water. Yeah. But in that whole story, if you go back and read, I think it's in Numbers, what was that? Numbers 27 to 12. If you go back and read that whole context and that story, you discover that this is three things that God mentioned in that place. He never saw or went into the promised land simply because of anger, disobedience, and unbelief in the word. The instruction that God gave. Men and brethren, we have to be very careful in the dealing with the Lord. The times we live in calls that before you take a step and do anything, hear from God. You have great plans for your life, projects you want to do, everything you want to do. Before you take a step and do, hear from God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Hear from the Lord. It's so very easy for you to lose your estate. It's so very easy. Praise the Lord. Talk about John 3:16, God's love for us. In my note, I said God expressed an emotion of love through an action of giving. Give his life for the ones he loved. John 15:13 says, greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And then the driving force behind the miracles and deliverances shown by Jesus Christ is not just the power of God, but also the compassion that comes in the expression of his love. So in the same manner, God enjoins us to do the same for one another, exemplified by Christ. John 3:16 to 18 gives us a picture. If you have time, write that down and go check the scriptures out. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, we are commanded to walk in love. But how do you walk in love, though? One, my notes here says, give yourself as an offering and sacrifice. Just like Jesus Christ did. Two, make it about others, not about yourself. Praise you, the Lord. Make it about other people, not about yourself. You know, we have a tendency to always say, my time is precious, my time is precious. Yes. But the best expression is love, of love, is your time. When you love somebody, do you know what gift you desire of them most? Their focused attention. When I love you, I want to see your eyes, I want to talk to you, I want to listen to you, I want to commune with you, I want to fellowship with you. I want you. You know, I often tell my wife when we talk, I say, look, honey, keep that cell phone down. I want to talk to you. Let's focus, let's engage. I want your time. I want to give you my time. Give me your time. That's very precious. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do with Him. Give Him of your time. Praise ye the Lord. Give Him of your time. What will it profit us if we gain the whole world and lose what? Our salvation, our souls. We run helter-skelter. We work 2, 3, 4, 10 jobs. Whatever it is. We pursue money. But we don't have time for God. We don't have time to get on our knees and pray and seek His face and ask Him for directions and for instructions. Praise ye the Lord. Give Him your time. That's the best love you can give to Him. He paid the price. He died for us. All He's asking, look, give me your time. I want to be your God and I want you to be my son. I want to have a relationship with you. Seek the kingdom of God and His right first and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. I can give you what you want, but I got to find time. You got to find time with me. Praise the Lord. If it means waking up at 4 o'clock, 2 a.m., whatever it is, spend time with the Lord. Seek His face in prayer, praise, whatever it is you want to do. That's all the Lord is asking us to do. Time with Him. As I begin to round up, I want us to give me 1 Peter chapter 2, 20 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, 20 to 23, please. For what glory is it if, when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Next verse. For even heretofore were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, doing what? Leaving us an example, that you should be followers of His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in Him. Let us learn of the Lord, so that you can find rest for your souls. There are some other things I will have brought up, but for time, I will leave you us with those two big points: obedience and the love and time you need to spend with God. It is important, men and brethren, that we stay glued to the Lord Jesus Christ. The times in which we live in is so wicked. You can easily lose your estate if you don't align yourself with the direction and with the word of God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Can I have the praise team to come on board, please? Grace comes to us because he sacrificed. The grace of God comes to us because he sacrificed. Or else, we will continue to be under the law. But we have a merciful God, a kind God, who understood that the law itself was not perfect. So he came. Show us the way, how we should walk. Learn of him. Learn of him, men and brethren, that you may find rest for your souls. Praise you, the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering today, please. Let's thank him.